Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Full or part-time options, 518-454-5143. From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
The Media Project is here with you folks, an opportunity for you to get some analysis, commentary, and maybe even a little insight into the media issues of the past week.
Like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. That's right. We're here, and if you're going to tune in, you're going to get it.
And guess who's with us this week?
Who's us?
You're Rex Smith.
Ah, thank you.
The editor of the Times Union.
Good. And you're...
Alan Shartok.
What do you do?
And you're both nuts.
Right. Okay, since you asked, Rex, I'm the publisher of the Legislative Gazette newspaper.
I'm
the president and CEO of WAMC, right? I'm a weekly columnist in several very good newspapers. And a lot of other things that never get mentioned on this program.
Never get mentioned on this program.
Yeah. And then Rosemary Armeo, professor... Rosemary Armeo. We love her, investigative reporter. And she recently went to a cocktail party where somebody said...
They said, oh, I listen to you on WAMC. You managed to hold your own against those two guys. That will be my claim to fame.
Will you stop, Rex, will you stop giving Rosemary a hard time?
Rosemary's tombstone, she held her own. And then some, I say, yes, well... Anyway, we're going to talk about healthier, whether that word means what we think it means. We're going to talk about anniversary journalism, which, by the way, I hate, and about websites with mug shots. But anyway, first, we start off with this controversy. It's been a pretty good one, actually, over the past week about a newspaper article that talked about organic
Stanford food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what it found was it's a mega study. And what that means is they don't do anything original. They just look at all the research that's been done in the past. And the conclusion of the scientists after doing this was that there's no real proof that eating organically, in other words, paying a lot more money for food, doesn't get you any advantage. And then and the way scientists are, they never say anything like journalists, nice and straight and clear. They add, but it does, you know, limit your exposure to pesticides, which would seem to many to be sort of a big plus. And I have to say that I fell into the complaint that the media has gotten, that we put headlines on it that were deceiving, deceitful.
Absolutely.
I fell into that because
I'm sorry. I don't agree.
Well, the media said no advantage to organic food.
The study was more complex than that. It said that there's no health benefit in the sense of nutritive values, that organic foods are not more nutritious, but it didn't deal with the other advantages, such as fewer pesticides in the environment. There's a health benefit universally from
that.
Or the loss of having so many antibiotics.
Antibiotics that are in meats and stuff. Organically, you're not getting that.
Right.
So the study said all of that, and of course, we in the news reduced it to, there's no advantage, why pay more? And I totally fell into it. I have a long-standing argument with a friend who spends a fortune on organic food, and then he gets these horrible bananas that, you know, rot the next day after you buy them.
It looks pale and
goody. And they don't taste as good. So I immediately called and said, ha, I gotcha. You know, this new study proves there's no advantage.
That is so unlike
you. But I was wrong. Oh, I know.
To
jump to it.
Rosemary. Ha, I got you.
You know, I'm pleased to say we ran the story with the AP version of the story had that nuance, and I think that our version of it went well. The original story I first saw was a Reuters dispatch, and Reuters did it badly, frankly. Reuters put a headline on no health benefit to organic food.
Right.
I eat a lot of organic food. You know, I only eat clean meat generally, except when I'm at a ballpark, I get to eat hot dogs.
Oh, Rex, you eat meat?
Quite a lot, yes. I like bison, which is,
Because you're from out there, right?
Yes, I grew up where the buffalo roam.
Yes, and so everybody who belongs, maybe belong to PETA or one of those groups, you can write to Rick Smith.
Absolutely.
My father was a butcher. There's nothing wrong with eating meat. I would just like to say that.
Excellent.
Oh, and you can also write to Rosemary.
It's a good thing. But, you know, there are benefits over the long term, which other studies have concluded are right. That is the environmental advantage of not having pesticides. And if you are consuming, there is significant evidence that if you consume less antibiotics, you're not going to develop the
resistance,
right? Right. Uh-huh. And that is a significant matter. So
you don't even have to go to other studies, which would have been good research. You could have just read the one study that this whole controversy is about and have come away with that. What happened was we didn't in the media, and that includes me. We just saw the, you know, there's no nutritive addition, therefore it's not as healthy.
Here's what Matt Lauer said at the Today Show when he introduced it. He said, out this morning, which may make you think twice before spending money on organic foods, according to researchers at Stanford University, they are not much healthier than conventional meats, fruits, or vegetables. So, you know, that sounds pretty conclusive, and it was not that conclusive, in fact.
Well, shame on them, you know, the study for leading you naive press media people into all of this.
Who?
Who did the media
Stanford accumulated 200 or so studies,
right,
and did, reported on what the studies found.
And they put it out.
No, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And so shame on them for leading you naive people
shame.
Know how to read.
Oh, shame on that. Yeah, it's their fault.
Into,
I get it.
Into all of this.
See, if we had PhDs,
if
we
did,
would, Rosemary, we would probably, unlike somebody else here, we would probably not have been able to.
Well,
anyway.
It is kind of scary because new studies show that the percentage of public relations people to journalists is like astronomically increasing.
Well, not only that, we don't really have now somebody's going to write me and say, yes, my school has a journalism program where they have a PR component, a public relations component.
Does.
But the truth of the matter is that we all know where the PR people are recruited from. They are recruited from us. They are recruited from people who are getting $30,000 a year and all of a sudden get $70,000 or $100,000 for going over to what we traditionally call in the profession the dark side.
Which
that's
is,
where they come from.
You know, to be fair, a lot of times we rely upon, quote, spokesmen. We call people to say, like, even the spokesman of the police department or so on. It's the same thing as in a lump group saying that lobbyists are bad.
Yeah.
Because
that's terrible. You know what I mean? They're not.
In this case, I would not have wanted to have direct access to the scientists who did this study, which is what we would normally say. Oh, if the journalists talked directly to the sources, we wouldn't have these problems. Yeah, we would have. Scientists would have been, they would have hedged this even more. It would not even have seemed newsworthy, I think, if we talked to them.
Do you mean you think they're whores?
The scientists?
No,
the opposite. I think that they're scientists, which is they do what they're supposed to. They're very cautious. They're very limited. They go, no, you're misinterpreting the study. Here's what it means. They use big words. They're hard to understand. Scientists are very difficult to deal with for journalists.
You said rely on, Rex, and I was struck by that. I used to have a friend named Linda Norris. He used to do this all the time. But rely on them has the word lie in it.
Ah. Well, I used to be on that side of the notebook. You know, I was a flack for an obscure member of Congress years ago when I was a young man. And I would have never lied to a reporter, you know, as though you have to take some pride in that. I mean, this seems to be the basic minimum, you would think. But you do, of course, only put out your side of the story.
Yes.
You butter the bread on one side only.
But how does that feel to wake up in the morning when you're representing some slime bag somewhere and I'm not saying that you were representing a slime bag at all.
He also had a PhD, by the way.
Yeah, well, so
I don't think you would have liked
that makes
him.
Makes him all right. Uh-huh. And so, but it must be tough to live a life in which you get the money, all right. Your kids get used to going to private school or whatever else, and then.
I used to love as a journalist to find people in that position because you could turn them. You could talk to them on the side and say, come on, tell me the real story off the record. And you would get it because you'd prey on their conscience, right? Did you ever do that?
Yes. And sometimes they do.
Yes. And the ones who stuck with their sleaze bag, well, then I would, like, put their salary in the paper. Spokesmen who earns $58,000 for the school district compared to teachers who earn, you know, whatever it was.
Excellent. I love you, Rosemary, because you have just, you know, after all these years of arguing with pompous Rex who looks down at me and spits down the hill.
No, what we do is important.
But what you just said is that if they don't cooperate, we'll get even. Now, in some places, that's called blackmail.
Yeah. Okay. I can't back away from the statement, though. It's true. It's true.
You really can't. Right.
Oh, boy. If you want to communicate with us, if you want to contribute to this conversation, we are media@wamc.org. You can send us an email or 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206 is the mailing address of WAMC, where we are here in lovely Albany, New York. Say, we not too long ago passed the anniversary of 9/11, and one of the interesting elements of this is how the media covered it. You know, we have what we call anniversary journalism. I'm often criticized as an editor by citizens and community when we don't do enough on Pearl Harbor anniversary or on VE Day or VJ Day.
The anniversary of the floods from Irene. Right. You know, you have to do it.
No, but there are interest groups that make it very plain that they're not happy if you don't cover their story.
Exactly.
And I've often called this lobbying, too, because, you know, they're lobbying the media to make sure that stuff happens. And you're right, Rex. I mean, on 9/11, there were, even in the tabs, there were 4 or 5 pages. And, you know, I said, oh, this is terrible. I remember it. I remember it as if it were yesterday. I was in Italy. So it, internationally, it was something. I came back because of it. But it is really a terrible thing. But 5 pages in a tabloid is a lot.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, spending the exact moment of the hit talking to Kris Jenner about her boob job is a little bit insensitive.
Absolutely. That's exactly what happened on...
She's Mama Kardashian.
That was on the Today Show.
Really?
The Today Show.
Who are the Kardashians?
Oh, my God. I'll see you after class to fill you in.
Oh, dear. It was really something of a public relations, speaking of disaster, for NBC, because actually on the morning of 9/11/01, I was watching the Today Show when they first aired these reports, you know. And so for television especially, which has such a rich archive, let's say, to draw upon, for them to actually not only fail to mention it on the Today Show, but then spend it in that way, that does seem inappropriate. That said, what do you think about the fact that the New York Times, the New York City newspaper, where most of the 9/11 attack occurred, or that is where most of the deaths of 9/11 occurred, the New York Times had nothing on the front page about it. Is that bad?
Is it really front page news? Okay, even if you believe strongly in anniversary journalism, this isn't the 5th or the 10th or the 20th. It's not one of the big anniversaries. Is that really front page news?
Well, you know, over 2,000 people, right, died in this thing. And it really was horrific.
11 years ago.
Yeah, well, we still think about Pearl Harbor, don't we?
Not very much. You know, the number of people who think about it are dwindling. This sounds so crude.
Don't you think this will dwindle also?
I totally do. I said from the beginning when 9/11 happened, and we were in Florida covering it. That's where the president was, and the editors announced, you know, in sonorous tones, the world will never be the same. We'll always remember this. And I'm saying to myself, that's not true.
Yeah.
And even now I can see it.
Well, it's interesting because here we have, we speak on the day that the Libyan ambassador was killed. The American
Well, a few
ambassador.
Days ago he was, yes.
Oh, yes.
It was on 9/11, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right.
But late in the day.
Oh, you speak of that day.
Yes. Yeah. You see? And journalism sometimes doesn't get there as soon as they need to. They were the first... blush was that it was just a bunch of people who got out of hand.
Right.
And now there's subsequent stories about Al-Qaeda doing their thing and that this was a planned attack.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, this is not to the fault of journalists, Alan. The State Department initially put out that one person was killed and one injured. Mm-hmm. You can't know instantly all of the story just because you're not there. I mean, what do you think?
But Rex, he's right.
9/11. I want to quote Rosemary Armeo, but Rex, he's right. Go ahead.
In what way? Sorry.
But Rex,
he right in criticizing
because
the media
it's
for...
9/11 and you have a dead diplomat, even if it were one. 9/11, a dead diplomat. Doesn't that set off any kind of alarms? All day long, the day before, I said, I wonder what's going to happen on 9/11. It makes me ask questions about why weren't those embassies reinforced on 9/11, especially in Northern Africa, where there's been problems. I think there's lots of stories that could have been done that we did a
but
terrible
I
job
think you
doing.
Need to examine the time of day when the story broke. We weren't there. You know, we weren't in Libya. I didn't have a reporter for the Times Union in Libya at the time.
What?
So we're relying upon the people who were there to tell us what happened.
Okay, but that's also the fault of the media. We've downsized to the point where we rely on others who didn't give us the news. That's a criticism.
could be. That's right. But I don't know that it's a criticism that I'm willing to accept myself. It's not my fault
I'm not blaming Rex Smith.
We're talking about aggregate journalism. Also, I don't think you were quite fair with me, Rex.
In what way? Yes.
You said that I accused journalists of having blown it. No, I think it's just a matter of waiting. My issue is not that you didn't know. You have to pull back, and you have to wait till you get the facts.
We have a newspaper that comes out every day. We have a website on constantly. We're not supposed to publish the newspaper until we know more. That is not true. You've got one of the great axioms of journalism. You have a deadline. You hit it. You publish what you know when you know it. But you don't publish more than you know. You're, in retrospect, Alan, trying to say that we should have known more than we did.
You seem to be very angry this morning, so let me just try to calm you down a little.
Trying to see if you can put yourself in the position of a journalist for once.
Now, Rex, that is so unkind and so unwanted.
Oh, boy.
Who do you think you are, that guy from Fox? The point is, it's not that you don't cover it. It's not that you don't say it. It's what you say and how careful you are about what you say. That's my point.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, then it's about time I'll accept that as an apology.
To get back to anniversary journalism, a lot of these stories are, they're kind of throwaways, too. There's not new reporting. There's not new insight. They're not worth printing.
But it's like the herding instinct, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to do it because the other guys are going to do it. I read two tabloids every day, the New York POST, which I don't even like to consider, and the New York Daily News. Now, I can tell you right now where they both are. The New York Daily News is for Obama, and the Post is for Romney. That is going to be the endorsement, in my opinion. And so what happens is Romney comes out, sticks his big foot in his mouth, really screws it up, and immediately tries to get a few cheap points out of the Libyan situation. The Daily News plays it as if, you know, a huge alliterative headline about Romney messing up, and the Post is either silent, even though Mitch McConnell and all the other Republicans were basically shaking their heads at Romney and saying, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. And then how we play it, it says a lot about the political interests of a newspaper like The Post, a right-wing rag, or The Daily News, much more intelligent in the way they do things. That's it.
You know, one of the interesting issues has to do with whether you're reflecting the values of your community in this kind of thing. You know, anniversary journalism, which just drives me crazy as well. But the fact is, if you're a New York City newspaper and this occurred there, does it not have special resonance for you? In our community, we had observances at the New York State Museum. We did a picture of that, and we had a photograph on the front page of demonstration of a display, actually, at Union College, where the Young Republicans and Young Democrats came together and put down 2,000 flags in memory of the in front of the Knott Memorial. It was a really cool photo. So that gave you local coverage of what was going on. But the interesting thing about the Times not referring to 9/11 on the front page that day was, I think, that Jill Abramson, the new executive editor of the Times, says, you know, we are less of a New York City paper than it was when she was growing up reading the New York Times.
Yeah. And so, in other words, the New York Times does not have to react the same way that the Times Union does.
Well, the Times is a national paper.
The Times covers 9/11 all the time. Every time they write about the site, every time they write about the opening of the new museum, that goes on all day, all year long, not just on 9/11. So I don't know. I think she gave a weak explanation for a very justifiable decision, news decision.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, absolutely. She said the New York is still part of our DNA. I mean, this is interesting for all of us who have a geographic base like WAMC or New York is still part of our DNA, she said, and important to the soul of the publication. But the actual metro area has over time been not the main part of our print readership. And online, it's more of an international and national audience.
Well, that's interesting because Rex and Rosemary, you've both explained this to me. There was a point at which Murdoch decided he was going to kill the Times by doing, at least try to kill the Times by doing a metro section
for the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm. And then the Times started to ramp up, I think, a little bit because they saw the challenge coming. Do you think that fight between the Wall Street Journal and the Times has been alleviated by the fact that the Wall Street Journal wasn't able to achieve what they thought they were going to do?
The Wall Street Journal also had nothing about 9/11 on the front page. So if you're going to put it in the context of this event, I don't think it had much bearing. And also, 9/11 isn't local. 9/11 is an international event. So the whole argument to me just seems very weak. I think that they made the right decision not to put it on page one. And Jill Abramson might have thought more clearly or written more clearly about why they did that and told readers that.
Well, I'm going to stump you both, but I'm thinking about, since you're talking about locality, you know, you take something like the Oklahoma City bombings. I wonder if that anniversary is done in the Oklahoma papers on those days.
By the way, the Wall Street Journal had an ad on the front page from Citi that actually did salute 9/11, so that replaced the journalism. And the Greater New York section in the Wall Street Journal does still exist.
No, it does, indeed.
It was primarily, though, I think an advertising play by Murdoch, not a news play. He created that section really to sell ads in the city rather than to sell journalism.
I didn't know that. No, I've actually read. There's a very good columnist in the Wall Street Journal in the Metro section.
Does this have anything to do with one of them wrote about you not too
actually
long ago? What do you know?
Actually, did.
Insightful fellow that Ralph Gardner, you know, it's a wonderful thing. Anyway,
you're sharp, Rex.
Just wanted to pick up on this, folks. Finally, our mugshots. There are websites that do a brisk business. That is, there's advertising to support them, I guess, that produce mugshots of people who have been arrested and so on. It's a really interesting phenomenon because in our media tradition, you know, we're very careful about arrests and we follow up after an arrest to write about the disposition of a case and so on. If you're a mugshot website, you're just going after folks who are charged, not all of whom, of course, are guilty. There is no effort to do the fairness piece of journalism.
Yeah, it's just like the perp walk issue.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's fascinating to me. You know, sells papers. You show some guy who looks dangerous and you get a really bad picture of him and put it up there. You know, I know newspapers, I'm not going to name them, which have come down to entertainment and crime stories. Crime stories being number one.
It's really interesting that crime is so entertaining to us. I mean, the whole point of
unless
local,
you're it.
Yeah, the whole point of local news is to bring you news of your neighbors that's of interest to you. And I think if they're arrested, that's news.
You know, some of the newspapers actually have adopted this. The Tampa Bay Times, formerly St. Petersburg Times, does this all the time.
They're the ones who started these mugshot
web pages. Yeah. It's quite something. Although other newspapers have done this, there was a newspaper in Massachusetts where an editor decided that he was concerned about drug crimes. And so everybody arrested for a drug crime in his community would get their picture in the paper. I thought that was a bad idea because it elevates drug crimes above others that the legislature, in its wisdom, has determined are more important. You know, he didn't publish the mugshot of everybody accused of robbery or burglary.
Yeah, arguably. What is this innocent until proven guilty stuff anyway? Now, don't the Brits do it differently than we do it?
Yeah, they don't write about people until after they're convicted. I don't like that system. I think that's
fair.
Very,
you have
very...
to admit it's fairer.
Why? If you're arrested,
if I'm
that's
arrested
news.
And they put my mugshot in there and everybody thinks I'm guilty, but if in fact I'm innocent, doesn't that do harm to me?
The problem is not that they put it in when you were arrested. The problem is that they didn't finish the story and say you were found innocent.
No, because
and
the people who were watching
Rex.
It in the beginning aren't watching it later on. Don't be silly.
The record is there to be found. And Rex, the problem with your argument
what do you mean
is
the record is there to be found?
The problem with your argument is that you can say, well, we can't get the whole story, so therefore we shouldn't be printing it. We shouldn't print anything. Why are you printing obits that don't have a cause of death in them?
Well, that's advertising. We don't publish. The obits are not a part of my department, unfortunately.
Another explanation that doesn't get to the fact that the media is to blame. We used to say what people died of.
Yes,
now we
Rex.
Don't.
Now, well, the families control those, unfortunately. You know, the same way that stores don't, when they put advertising in giving you the prices, they don't tell you that the stuff is going to break after 2 weeks. That's an advertising decision, not a journalism decision.
That obits is now advertising is a news decision.
No, we publish news obits. You mean I'm now responsible for the advertising department telling them what they can and can't put into the paper?
Your predecessor 5 years ago, did print obits as news. It's not just the Times Union either.
No, every newspaper in the country.
And it's because of money. It's not because of a news decision.
What do you know? We don't have enough money to hire everybody we should.
What do you know? We don't even have enough time to finish to do anymore.
All right. Come back and see us next time. Thanks for joining us on The Media Project.
Ooh, I love yelling.
I hope you have a better week next week, Rex, because you came in here with a face on you. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, newspaper men meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known.
floor. I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk. Pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. Their policy's an acrobatic thing.